We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars, and joining me now, a major rock star, we've got Peter Kim, founder and vice chairman of Hudson Jeans. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for those who aren't familiar, there's probably a couple, what is Hudson Jeans?
So Hudson, I mean, it's, I guess it's pretty simple. Hudson Jeans is a premium denim company that I started back in 2002.
Awesome. That is pretty simple. But what's not simple is what makes you guys so unique and innovative. So take us back to when you first had that idea.
So if I take a step back on my career, I started my career in Missy Moderate Career Polyester Blouses, which is a fairly specific category. And it's, I don't know if you know what that is. You probably don't because it was something so far back.
Yeah, I don't know that I do.
You know, in the early 80s and 70s, 80s, as women became respected in the workplace, dual income, executives, you know, women and men, I guess, wore suits, right? They used to wear suits back in those days. So I started in a family business. My family started this company where it provided these polyester blouses that went under women's suiting. So it was for a bit of an older demographic, women's and moderate price. So it was more of like a commodity, mass units and so forth. So they started this company back in the 70s, and they had a great run. They were, you know, started from nothing, came from Korea with like dirt poor, pocket full of money and a suitcase of clothes, and started this company. And they had a great run through the 80s and even into the early 90s, and had this amazing business where they were, you know, they were nationwide. They had all the major department stores and retail outlets. And
yeah, the American dream.
American dream. They literally lived the American dream. And, you know, so I grew up fairly pretty privileged. You know, I went to private school, me and my brother, we vacationed all over the world. That was one of the things my parents were really fanatical about, is making sure we were exposed to all the different cultures and so forth. So, you know, I, having grown up in that kind of environment, and then as I was coming out of college, the business had turned south. And with all their money, they invested it into real estate in the 80s and early 90s. But as I was coming out of college, I expected to be, you know, walking into a family business and carrying on the torch.
And have things just be
easy. Just like, we're going to keep moving forward and things are going to be great. But I started in 1994. And as I started, there was a massive shift. And several things. Number one, I think the economy itself was not in the best of places. The workwear environment had started changing. You had dress on Fridays, dress on every day. So the product that they had was quickly becoming irrelevant in the marketplace and changing quickly. With that, you had the real estate market that started to crash for the most part. And on top of that, my parents, you know, they're getting older and they're, you know, they're in the ages of, hey, we're going to start easing out of this and retiring and handing over the business to our children.
Yeah, a combination that could potentially be a disaster.
Right. And then the worst, I mean, I think the final straw was a family member had a Kawasaki Motorsport dealership. They go bankrupt. They dumped the whole thing on my parents and my family. So I'm at this point 23 years old. I step into the situation and I'm looking at this going, oh my God.
Yeah. Wow.
I grew up pretty much a snot-nosed, spoiled brat, right? I always like to say I was the early signs of, I guess, I hate to say this, I was the early signs of what the stereotypes of millennials were. Super entitled, just didn't know what I was doing. You know, I step into the situation and I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. You know, this is unbelievable how horrible the situation. So you have all these things going on. We had an infrastructure that was predominantly Korean. And I mean Korean, not like Korean Americans, but like Korean as in English was a second language. So, you know, and there's a lot of tradition and a lot of cultural gaps, especially me being, you know, born and raised in LA, grew up predominantly in the streets of LA. So, you know, walking into this, there's this thing with elderlies and the culture and trying to prove myself and trying to get respect. And on top of that, you know, it was a very limited talent pool because it was literally like 99% Korean people. So,
and were you expected to kind of save this ship?
Yeah, you know, I step into this thing and my father's like, you know, you got to help
good
save
luck.
This.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was rough. You know, it was like one of the craziest moments I still,
wow,
I'd say, to this point
what
in my
a
career.
Story.
And I think it was several things. You know, first, I was super young. And to put in perspective, this is 1994. We had over $10 million in debt. We had a product that was irrelevant in the marketplace. My parents, which is, we had, you know, an infrastructure that was broken. We had real estate holdings that was collapsing. And I think the most critical part was my parents' leadership was suspect, you know, because they were tired physically, emotionally, spiritually. You know, it was just, you had a perfect combination of everything that could go wrong was going wrong.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know.
So what'd you do?
Did save it. But it was really difficult, you know, because at the beginning I came into it and I would bitch and complain about it every single day. I'm like, oh, this sucks. Why me? Poor me. I don't deserve this and so forth and so forth. And what ended up happening was I had this awakening moment one day. And, you know, I left the office and it was just a complete disaster as I left it, as every other day was. And I'm driving, I forget where I'm going, but, you know, I'm having that usual thought of, oh, why me? This sucks. You know,
yeah,
I
can, it's easy
I just
to take
job,
on that negative,
you know,
mindset.
I should just quit,
yeah,
and go find something else. And I, you know, just moment of just like a self-actualization moment where it's like, okay, yes, it's difficult, but if you take a step back here, yeah, I look at my family. They came, my parents came to this country with absolutely nothing. They dirt poor and they did whatever they could to save their money and build this company. And I took a, you know, further step back and it's like, I look at the whole Korean American community in LA and in America and think, you know, they have a very similar story, came with nothing and built this whole community that's doing very well. And then you take even a further step back and I look at our country in its entirety and say, well, this whole country is built off of nothing. And in a very short period of time, have become the most powerful country in the world. So when I looked at the bigger picture, I'm like, oh man, now I feel like a real jackass. You know, I'd be like, oh, what am I complaining about? This is not ideal. But in the grand scheme of things, so much more has been accomplished. So that was a big moment in my life.
So wake up.
It was a wake up. And it was one of those massive perspective changes. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I find is how perspective is so important.
Yeah.
Because when I get back into the office, you know, I looked at it and said, okay, I come back the next day and it's pretty much the exact same thing, right? Nothing's
right.
changed overnight. But when I looked at it, it was a totally, what I saw was totally different. And what I saw as opposed to poor me was, oh my God, look at this opportunity. It's a game. It's, you know, it's a challenge. How can I fix this? What can I do to make this go right? So that slight that change in perspective.
It's everything. I mean, that's what entrepreneurs are. They're opportunists.
Yeah.
You have to see things for their possibilities.
Right. You have to look at that very, very low percentage shot and say, I think I can make that.
Yeah.
And despite all the obstacles and despite all the, you know, everybody telling you can't, it's stupid, it's not a good play, you do it anyways. And, you know, I think that's what made it was a massive change for me. And, you know, the biggest attitude that I took, the other one is number one perspective. And the other was, I realized, you know, I don't know how this is going to end up, but what I want to do is make sure that I lay down the greatest fight the world has ever seen. So even if I die literally or figuratively, at least I want to go down in a blaze of glory, right? A heroic death, right? So it's like, if we're going to go down, at least we're going to rip people's ears off and take their nose down. And at least they'll remember forever that we stood here and put up the greatest fight we possibly could and gave it everything we could. And to me, I thought either way, I have nothing to lose. If I can make this work, if I don't make it work, nobody's going to blame me, right? It's like,
right,
you know, he's young,
wasn't
he's
your fault, right?
Experienced and so forth. But if I succeed, then I could be a hero. So I thought, screw it. Let's just give it everything we got and let's see how this ends up. And the next day, you know, I walk in and it was somewhat of a, I guess, a basic strategy. Let's first and foremost get the debt stabilized. So it was a big thing for us. You know, back then in the mid-90s, in the 90s, you had a lot of companies going bankrupt, whether Chapter 7 or Chapter 11. For us, you know, we sat down with all of our creditors and said, we're not going anywhere. We want to make sure we be good on our debt. And that was one of the things that my father had always told me. It's like, your debt, you have to cover. Like, if it's and you have to do everything you can to cover your debt because this is belongs to us and our responsibility. So we sat down with all of our creditors and said, we need help. We're here. We have a plan. We have a strategy, but we just need your help and your support. And it was amazing because everybody cooperated.
Wow. You are such an inspiration. Oh, seriously, your story is just so beautiful and so inspiring. We're going to take a quick break, but when we cool. come back, I want to touch more so on your leadership skills because you're being very humble, but clearly you've done a lot of things right. So I really want to learn from you as a leader and then also dive more into Hudson Jeans and building this amazing business. So thanks for being cool. here. Sit tight. We'll be right back. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Underage smoking and vaping is a serious problem. One way to combat it, raise the legal age to purchase from 18 to 21. About 80% of high school students turn 18 before graduating. If they can legally buy tobacco, they can share with underage classmates. Raising the purchase age to 21 reduces underage access. That's why Juul Labs supports making 21 plus the law nationwide. Learn more at juul.com/T21. Juul Labs, for adult smokers only. Paid for by Juul Labs.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day. Watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Wow, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars, and we are continuing our super inspiring conversation with Peter Kim, founder and vice chairman of Hudson Jeans. And I want to circle back to something we talked about earlier. We were talking about how the people you owed money to were just thankful that you were truthful, you were transparent, and a lot of times people just want communication, and you did that so beautifully. And you were telling me off camera that you think that there's something to that because a great motivator is fear and the unknown. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like obsessed with fear. I have this fascination with it. I'm constantly thinking about it and studying it. And I guess maybe it comes from childhood where when I was younger, I was afraid of everything. And I think it inhibited me from doing a lot. So I think that's maybe the root of where it comes from. But as it relates to this, you know, I think, as we say, fear is one of the greatest motivators. And one of the things I realize is, and therefore, I think what happens is when people don't know, when they're in the dark, it creates massive amounts of fear because now your imagination starts running
right.
and you don't know. And then we, as we all know, whether it's personal or business, you start making up the craziest stories of what's happening. And it's because we choose not to be transparent. We choose not to be vulnerable. We choose not to be honest and open about things. And, you know, I just think it's a critical part because once you turn the lights on in a room, you realize, oh, okay, because you heard this noise in the corner, right? You're like, oh my God, what is this? Is it a monster? Is it nothing? And you don't know. And that unknown creates this massive stress. And
I
then
like
you start doing crazy things,
that
right?
Metaphor, yeah.
Then we turn on the lights and you look over and like, oh, it's just a little, you know, I don't know, whatever, mouse or something.
Yeah.
As opposed to, and like, okay. Or you turn on the lights and there absolutely is a monster there, but at least you can deal with it and know what to do with it as opposed to creating all sorts of crazy scenarios. So, you know, it's one of the things that I've always used as far as my management is just being transparent, letting the people, your staff know exactly what it is and let them choose whether they want to go with you or not, because I think it's unfair, for lack of a better word, I hate that word, but it's not right for them not to choose the journey that they are planning to go. If it's yours, fine, but let them know, you know, what they're expecting, and because it's, you know, a lot of times it's expectation management, right? It's if you expect things to be great and they're not, you're like, oh, that sucks. But if you say, hey, look, it's going to be rough, then you're like, okay. You can prepare
so them. True. And I think you're speaking to why you're such a good leader, because I know that circling back again,
yeah.
you said that you helped make average employees extraordinary. So that's hard to do. Yeah. And I know from talking to friends and family that one of the big motivators is just knowing where you stand, yeah, where you fit into the vision and all of that. So speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, my personal belief in this and the way I look at this is I think one of the most important things for a leader is to have a vision and have beliefs. And it, again, it's got to be beyond the money. It's beyond like, let's, you know, make a ton of money. When I talk about vision and beliefs is, what are you about? What is the core purpose of what you're trying to do? And again, it can't be the money part, because to me, that's okay. That's part of the operation.
That will come if you do something great.
Yeah, it's part of the logistical piece. But what is it greater than that? And how do you get people motivated to go beyond and give everything? And I think it's having a vision, having these beliefs, having values and principles, and creating something that's inspiring. You know, creating something that you believe in so with all your heart that you're willing to do whatever you have to do to go for it. And then finding people that share that belief. And once mm-hmm. you can find that, I think the next thing for me is having the courage to actually go through it. Like, this is what we believe in. And this is what we're going to do, no matter what's in front of us, no matter what obstacle, no matter what is told to you. We're going to do everything we can to make this real.
Tell me where Hudson Jeans is now and your involvement with it.
So right now we are a year and a half with the new partnership, with the new group on board, a great bunch of guys. And we're trying to figure out how do we take the business and keep pushing it forward into a new environment. And I think it's a really exciting time. And I know that the apparel retail segment has had a lot of doubts and there's a lot of questions about it. But I find it to be one of the most exciting times with massive opportunity, because there's ways to connect with the consumer and the community in ways that we've never been able to do so in the past. And the fact that the bulk of everybody's kind of doing the same thing and using the same formula, I think that's a huge opportunity, because I always say, imagine if we just did something this much different, we'd look like geniuses. And imagine if we actually did something really different, we would revolutionize the industry. So that's really the goal for us at Hudson, is how do we start redefining apparel, retail, and how consumers shop for not only jeans, but, you know, consumer products in general.
So cool. Okay, I lied. I have one more question for you. What is your number one piece of advice for aspiring and new entrepreneurs?
You know, I always go back, I'm not sure if it's one advice, but my whole thing is about being passionate about what you're doing. Whatever you decide to do, just make sure that you love it. It's something that you just... you know, it's something that you love and you're passionate about. And I think that's the start of everything. Because, you know, in today's world, we are always taught to go chase after opportunities that, for the most part, produce the highest financial return. And I'm like, well, in today's world, you can pretty much make a career out of almost anything. So why not it be based on something that you're passionate about? And, you know, after I've had a 24-year career, and I've seen from reviving a family business to starting multiple companies and selling, you know, four times, and you know, through this whole process, you know, I wake up every day just, I feel like I'm just starting, you know, just the beginning. And if you like what you saw up until this point, wait till you see the next 24 years. And you know, every day I wake up and say, I can't believe I get paid to do this. I can't believe I make a living off of this. And for me, it's because I love what I do. I love, you know, what we're trying to do. I love the team that we work with. And I think it's been a product of, I'm just passionate about this. I love it. So the greatest advice I always give is, whatever you plan to do, make sure you love what you do. Don't listen to other people. Don't listen to your parents, your teachers, or anybody else, because they don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know.
True.
They barely know what they're trying to get. They're still struggling. We're all just trying to get through life and trying to figure it out. So don't listen to other people. Listen to yourself. Like, what is it that you're passionate about? What is it that gets you up in the morning? Because I think, at least for me, as I found that, it's like, this is not a job for me. This is just living. This, when they talk about lifestyle, yeah, this is lifestyle for me, because I love what I do. So I just hope that, because, you know, you hear also so many people, they're unsatisfied with their jobs. They're, you know, it's just a job. And it's like, oh, that's kind of sad. You're spending, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours
yeah.
there. And if you don't love it, then why
love
the hell are you doing
life.
It?
Yeah.
Totally. Right. So that'd be my one advice.
That's awesome. That is such an inspiring note to end on. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
Your
it's been fun.
Time and your wisdom. Your story is just incredible.
Cool.
Thank you. Peter Kim, he is the founder and vice chairman of Hudson Jeans, and we are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Eric Jones is our guest joining us right now. He's the founder of Sidestep. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us again, what's your company do?
So Sidestep lets fans order concert merchandise before, during, and after the show for VIP pickup or delivery.
So give me an example. Last time you said you got Adele, Beyonce, Fall Out Boy, some of your guys' clients using this app.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're a fan of Beyonce, you can see all the merchandise that she's selling. You can browse and buy whatever it is that you want to purchase. It's all the official Beyonce tour merchandise. When you order the merch, they'll be waiting for you at the show for easy pickup.
So is this before, during, and after, or just before and during?
Before, during, and after. Okay. So we offer both pickup at show, or if you can't make it or you're sick, you can have the item shipped home.
So the old school model is you just show up, they have the merchandise at the venue, and then maybe the person has a website with the stuff on it. But you guys simplified this down where it's like, download our app. Is the app for free?
Free.
Okay, so download the app for free, and pretty much just you're going to dominate the whole music industry. Is that your vision goal?
Yeah, and we're doing a pretty good job at that right now with the artists that we're working with. And you know,
because you got some of the biggest ones already.
Yeah. It's really helpful having those artists. But you know, the core problem why I was inspired to start this company, it was the idea of having 20,000 people all in an arena, all at the point of sale, all very excited. They're kind of there the whole night because they paid to be there. And I think if the experience is you have to walk up to a very, very long line, wait in that line with cash in hand.
That's the reason why when I go to these shows, I never buy anything. If I actually love the person on stage and I'm like really like a big fan, then I might feel compelled to buy some of their merchandise or maybe buy it for somebody I'm with as a gift or something. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, it's those lines, that which is so true. If I could just sit there on my phone on, you know, your guys' app, it'd be so much easier.
Yeah, definitely. So it's really convenience for the fan. And I think if you have to walk up to a very long line, wait in that line, get to the front, the item that you want isn't there. There's so many broken
parts. Don't have it in a medium or a large? Great.
It happens all the time, yeah. And I think, you know, with Sidestep, it's for the fan, it's all about convenience. For the artist, the reason why we're getting these really great artists using Sidestep, it's because we're the first company to actually capture real data on who's buying what at the show. So for the first time, if Beyonce is playing to 60,000 people at, let's say, Rose Bowl, we now know who's actually buying that merchandise if they order through Sidestep.
Okay.
And that's something that they can use to engage, identify, and, you know, further add value.
So, I mean, I know that with technology nowadays, you guys can track and measure the analytics and data of each individual user, when they bought, different things like that. and put them into a pipeline where if that person buys another future ticket to Beyonce, there's different ways that you guys can remarket to them?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And data for us is very important, where even with Ticketmaster, Access Ticketing, two partners that we have.
Your company's literally built on the foundation of data.
Yeah. It's when you understand who's actually buying the merchandise at a show, in our opinion and what we're seeing, you've just identified the super fans. Fans that will continue to buy merch, continue to stream the music or buy the tickets. And unlike food and beverage or parking or even the tickets themselves, if you buy the merchandise at the show, you're very inspired by the show, by the artist, and they'll continue to engage with that artist. And we're finding who those people are.
So do you have some way yet to calculate lifetime value of a purchase or a user? Like, for example, for every user that comes on, they're worth $25 over the next 6 months. Do you guys have data like that yet?
Yeah, slowly.
I mean, I know that it's going to take time. The longer you have, if this thing has been around for 5 years, you'd have tons of that data. Yeah. I'm just curious because I used to hate numbers and hate math in school again, right? Like, I wish I dropped out of school like you. But as I got into business, I was like, dang, this whole numbers thing and math and making sure that every decision you make moving forward is strategic based on data and analytics.
Right. Yeah.
So now I like thrive off of this stuff when I actually get excited about the numbers, which is why I was asking, you know, do you know you got 100,000 users, the average one's worth $6.15?
Right. Yeah, it's still pretty early for us right now. Okay. I think what we're seeing, you know, our average order value is $75. Compare that to the average order value at a concert away from Sidestep, it's like $55.
So you already have that data.
Yeah, and another really compelling data point, which all the merch companies that we work with are loving, where we're actually predicting real data on demand, where for the first time when you have the entire tour line available for pre-order, if we launch that tour line for Beyonce 2 weeks before the tour begins, we now know down to, I think, about 1.7% exactly what is going to be the most popular product and popular size variant throughout the entire tour.
And you guys could even send, and again, I mean, I'm just making stuff up because there's so many things you guys could really do, but one that popped into my head was you could send a push notification that says, hey, the show is about to end, buy some of the merchandise, 25% off. I mean, there's so many different things you guys really could do, which is why this app really is actually a genius idea. My question is, what separates you and protects you from anyone getting into this space?
Totally. It's the upside with working with Sidestep and the partnerships we have. Where
so you feel like you've already got your feet pretty deep in?
Yeah, the moat's really deep right now. And it's not just the artists that we're working with, which that's a very powerful thing, but it's more the partnerships that we've cultivated with Ticketmaster, with Access Ticketing. And we're basically building, you know, proactive sales channels that do not exist today for artists. For the first time with Ticketmaster, we can proactively message fans that bought a ticket to the show saying, you're going to Beyonce at Rose Bowl, here's the entire merch line, you can buy it here. So we're providing the artists not just the data, but a marketing vehicle to drive more sales.
So have you met Beyonce and Adele and them? Do you actually get to meet them?
No, I get the pleasure of meeting their merchandise people.
Okay, you're going to meet the director of merchandise PR for them and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious because I thought, I was like, that'd be a pretty cool thing. Maybe after you've made them enough money, you'll be able to say, hey, I want that meeting, all right? I know exactly with the data here how much money I've made you guys, which I think is something that's really cool about your guys' app. Founder of Sidesteps joining us, Eric Jones. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We didn't talk about raising money yet, and I said that we were going to bring it up. So I want to know now, how much money did you guys raise? Can you disclose it?
Yeah, we've raised just under $2 million.
Just under $2 million. Mm-hmm. And what do you think's the hardest part? Nowadays, raising money is a trend. They've got freaking TV shows about raising money nowadays for products and ideas.
Yeah.
So what do you think's the hardest part?
I think it's romanticized quite a bit. It's really not, at least in my opinion, it's not the most fun. It's really the necessary.
They try to make it seem like it's kind of glamorous. In some ways, yes, meaning like, oh my gosh, you raised $5 million. But in reality, you wouldn't celebrate getting a $5 million loan from the bank because you just got $5 million in debt. Now, granted, somebody could rationalize good debt versus bad debt. Mm-hmm. That's another conversation. But what do you think was the thing that let you raise the money? Because you're a young guy and, you know, sometimes they say you bet on the jockey, meaning the person versus the horse, the company. In your case, what do you think they bet on?
I think early on, it came down to me as the founder, how I can articulate the story, talk about what we're looking to accomplish and what we've done so far with what we have. Now it's really based on data, where we've done about 8x growth since last year in every single metric you can
That'll gather. Make the investors pretty happy, right?
They're loving it. But I think, you know, the biggest challenge is just making sure you're persistent. You'll get a lot of no's. Mm. I mean, you'll get, for every yes, you'll have 100 or 200 no's. And that can get hard on the entrepreneur because you love what you do so much, you love the vision, and to have someone a professional investor say, nah, I don't see it.
Yeah.
It can weigh on you quite a bit.
Okay, and so at the end of the day, when you got the investment, what was the first thing that went through your head?
let's hire some people. Yeah.
How did you decide to allocate the funds? Was it your decision? Was it the investor's decision?
Yeah, it was my decision. I mean, we started off when we first did that Fall Out Boy tour.
Okay.
About 2.5 years ago. It was just me and one developer, so that's not that many people.
Yeah.
So for me, it was let's hire really, really great people to fill in the voids. Let's expand the team, the devs, because we want to build a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And the sales. Let's make sure we always have artists coming onto Sidestep.
How are you guys continuing to get new people on? I mean, you've already got so many big names, and I feel like that's really the hardest part, is you get up the hill, you get those first couple big names, like you've got Beyonce, Adele, Fall Out Boy, and a bunch of other big ones. But at the end of the day, how do you sustain that? How do you keep moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the big artists, they kind of, you know, we take a one-to-many strategy with the merch companies and management companies, where it makes it easier to have more tours come onto Sidestep, but it's a really big market, and we want to make sure that we can serve not just those top tier artists, but those that are playing theaters or small amphitheaters. And that comes down to what product we can build to make it more self-serve. So if you're an artist that's signed or not signed or with a merch company, you can use Sidestep to sell your merch for pre-order and get all the value that Beyonce gets.
Which is incredible. What do you think is the next step for you guys? I always want to know, from a founder especially, right? Where do you see this company going in the next maybe 3 to 5 years, which is really hard to project. Yeah. Maybe we'll do 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, so in 12 months, I mean, my passion, my love is music. Everyone at Sidestep plays an instrument, or we just share music all the time.
Which is so cool how you went from music and now you've got this.
Yeah, I wanted to make an impact away from playing drums in a band.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to do it. So I think, you know, music is something I really care about a lot, and I want to make it better for the artists of tomorrow, starting today. So I really want to continue the path of music. But with that said, we built Sidestep to cross into other industries. We're speaking to a couple now outside of concerts.
Yeah.
So I think for us, 3 years from now, let's say, ideally we're starting to take over the live event merchandising space, bringing transparency to it, bringing data to it, and bringing a marketing vehicle that doesn't exist today.
Which is, I think, an amazing vision. And as the founder, your job is to be the one that really not only sets it, but also make sure you build the team around you to move forward. What have you been doing to make sure that you're building a team around you?
Hiring really good developers.
Where do you find those developers? Because nowadays I feel like there's so much talent out there, but there's so much more opportunity for the talent. And, you know, from sitting with so many people, I hear the hardest thing to do is actually find the great talent. Mm-hmm. And if you do find it, the second hardest thing is to retain it. So how are you doing that?
Yeah, so I, with our investors and advisors, I keep track of what they do in their industry. And I think every hire we've had so far has been through referral from an investor or an advisor.
Okay.
Saying, we know these people, meet with them, talk to them, and they haven't let us down once. So yeah, I think if you have investors, you have advisors, you have a network of people, or even mentors, they have pretty substantial network. You should you know, take advantage of that and say, hey, we're hiring some people. Do you know anyone at all? And
yeah.
9 times out of 10, they'll provide you a couple people.
Eric Jones, the one and only. Thanks
Appreciate
so much for coming
it.
On the show,
yeah,
brother.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. Should your company hire an entrepreneur? I'm Pat O'Brien with a Business Rockstars Minute. Some employers may be reluctant to hire entrepreneurs. Managers often feel it's difficult for entrepreneurs to let go of control and allow another person to take ownership. In other words, most entrepreneurs like being the boss. So is hiring an entrepreneur the right move? Here are a few skills most entrepreneurs possess that make them invaluable to employees. 1, they understand the big picture. 2, victories are short-lived. Entrepreneurs are constantly looking to improve. 3, take big risks. An entrepreneur who is familiar with failure is typically more intuitive in their decision-making. If you look at hiring an entrepreneur as an investment rather than a challenge, the returns will pay off. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app. Home
Advisor. Underage smoking and vaping is a serious problem. One way to combat it, raise the legal age to purchase from 18 to 21. About 80% of high school students turn 18 before graduating. If they can legally buy tobacco, they can share with underage classmates. Raising the purchase age to 21 reduces underage access. That's why Juul Labs supports making 21 plus the law nationwide. Learn more at juul.com/T21. Juul Labs, for adult smokers only. Paid for by Juul Labs.
Hiring? Aren't you tired of hoping the right candidates see your job posts and apply? It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. That's why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. Instead of waiting for great candidates to find you, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Then its powerful technology reviews every application and even spotlights the top candidates, which means you never miss a great match. So instead of hoping you find that needle in the haystack, ZipRecruiter finds it for you. And hiring is a whole lot easier.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Rockstars.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Billie Jean, the man, the myth, the legend, is in the house. He's the CEO and founder of Billie Jean is Marketing, Inc. Brother, it's a pleasure to have you on the show with us. My question for you is, so many entrepreneurs out there that I see, and I'm sure you align with this, they're not hitting their income and their impact goals. And I know you've got a reason for why that is. What is it?
Right now, if you're like how I was 4 years ago, and you look at your bank account, and literally, when you look at it, you feel sad or mad or angry or stressed out, anxiety, because you know it's not enough to cover your lifestyle. If that's the feelings you're getting right now, I can tell you your problem beyond the shadow of doubt.
What is it?
You lack, or they lack, the skills to solve problems that pay the big bucks. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. Take the highest earning careers in the world. You take an attorney. You take a doctor. Yeah. Well, if you ever get into trouble and you're about to go to jail, you call an attorney, and they have the skills to stop that situation from happening. If something ever happens to you physically, a doctor can save you life. As a result of having those skills, they can earn a high income. And then you say, okay, well, I'm not a doctor and a lawyer. Exactly my point.
Yeah.
You're not working your butt off making the sacrifices necessary to do that. Doctors just don't become doctors. They go to school for 10 years. They do a residency. They do all that stuff before they have that earning power. But for some reason, especially with startups, they have this arrogance about them that they can just figure out business and get going, and they don't have any skills. What's a skill? The ability to do something that somebody else cannot.
And you help,
that's when you make money.
You help people like the doctor and the attorney analogy. You do the thing. So if somebody's business is in trouble.
Exactly. And that's on the
you
doctor.
You help them with the marketing. You're the doctor for
if
that.
If you can make it rain customers on demand, meaning walk into a business, boom, turn it on, like I have. And if you see in our videos, you see me do things like just last week, 175 appointment requests for a local cryotherapy company in less than 36 hours. When you can come in on demand like that, you can set your prices. And again, the skills to get that done, you can't learn them in school.
Yeah.
And so as opposed to being a motivational guy, we're the solution people. Come to us. Literally, like again, another plug for your audience. Go to Try the Gene Pool, G-E-N-E, like my middle name. TryTheGenePool.com. Come with us. Every month I teach you a different skill, a skill that actually matters that's going to impact your business. Creating videos, how to do Facebook live stream and monetize it, persuasive writing and emails and text messages, things like that. I teach a new skill every single month. And again, if you don't learn more about marketing, and I'm on a call live once a week, hanging out with me in one of those sessions that you ever have in your whole life, stop by the office in San Diego, California. I'll buy you Starbucks.
So your income is in direct proportion to the value you're adding to the world.
Exactly.
And you teach people how to add more value. The byproduct is the increase.
And let me give a synonym there. So people say value a lot, and I think people get lost in that translation sometimes. Value is this: solve a problem for somebody.
Simple. Make it rain leads.
Make it rain leads. So here's a customer or here's a client, a chiropractor. They need more customers so that they can support their family. What do? You come in, you run an advertising campaign. They have more customers. They're happy. They're helping more people. It's very synergistic, too. It's a fulfilling business. So if you really want a high-earning skill set, be the rainmaker. I promise you, you can make way more than a doctor and attorney.
Oh, way more.
way more. I'm just saying.
And I have people tell me all the time. Somebody just asked me the other day. They're like, so, Mark, are you investing your money in X, Y, and Z stuff? Yeah. And I said, and one of the things was real estate. And I said, well, yeah. I was like, but not as much as you think. Mm. And I said, the reason why is because one of my mentors said, why would I put my money over here when it might make me 5, 10, 20, 30, 40% in a year when a marketing campaign can generate me 100, 300, 500% return on my money?
Dude, that's so funny. Now, going back into like the lack of education that I had like growing up, to me, I've heard for so long that you have to play the stock market and you have to do all of these things to make a return, where here all I know is how to grow the hell out of local businesses. Yeah. And yet I find myself at a mastermind last week and I'm asking them like, hey guys, what investments are you making? Because I felt like I was missing something for not doing that, because that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I just invested into the stock market for the very first time last week.
Yeah.
I called my buddy and I said, what am I doing? I don't know. I did like a TD Ameritrade or whatever. Yeah. And I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah. And the very first question I asked him, why didn't they teach this in school?
I love that. We've got the CEO and founder of Billie Jean is Marketing Inc., Billie Jean in the house. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. My question is, there's a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs out there. They listen to this show. Maybe they even follow people like yourself who teach people how to be more successful. They're trying to figure out how to put the pieces together. What do you think are three things the aspiring entrepreneur who's going to cut the cord from his job, only source of income, wants to start his business? What do you think are three things he needs to know?
Number one, I don't care if you work hard, and neither does the market. Mm. Everybody works hard. The successful people are the people who sacrifice more. If your habits are just like your friends, where they're going to Coachella and the music festivals and all those other things, or watching Netflix on binging, and you're doing all the same things as them, get out of here. You're not an entrepreneur. So if you're willing to, like, have an honest conversation with yourself. Are you really willing to not go to those birthday parties, stay up till 3 a.m, and those stupid things like eat Top Ramen forever? That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And if you're not willing to do those things, get out of here, because you're going to lose. That's the only thing I can promise you. The second thing I would tell them is, get a skill set. Be able to do something that others cannot. If I put you into a room and you can't do something that the other people can't, you are going to lose.
And you've done those. I've seen the competitions.
Yeah,
And I know I don't even have to ask. One of the most important, I guess, skill sets, as you're talking about here, would be to learn marketing.
Oh my gosh. I think people have looked in the past as like an option. Yeah. Now I believe it's a requirement. Not just marketing, but even creating content. And then I'm going to say another word that I mentioned earlier. Those who entertain will win, because entertainment is getting 100% of the attention. So right now, I have people coming to me all the time. They say, but Billy, I'm an attorney. Like, how can I possibly entertain people? Yeah. What? Have you not seen like Judge Judy? That's a lack of creativity. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And that's why people lose. And so having courses to teach people how to be creative, which would have been mocked once upon a time, is going to probably be the greatest asset that any business owner can have. Now, where can you learn that? From this guy right here.
All right, well, give us
TryTheGenePool.com.
I was going to say, you got so many free things.
TryTheGenePool.com. I will teach you how to do these things. You can learn them. If right now you're doubting yourself and you don't believe that you can be someone who does that, you're going to lose.
Somebody wants to get access to these. I know we mentioned them. Recap for us where they can follow you and get access to these.
Go to www.copyourads.com.
Billy Jean, pleasure for having me on the show, brother.
Dude, thanks for having me.
Thanks. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.